Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Rocket Juan Carlos.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we help today make sense. Now we're just helping. We've lowered expectations.
We have changed the entire raison d'etre of the show. We're just helping today make sense, man. It's a whole new thing. Oh, my goodness. Paging Dr. Freud.
This is small but major change.
That's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for joining us. It's Monday. We're a little slap happy. I don't know what's going on. We do a little What We Miss Monday, a lightning round of stories you might have missed over the weekend, along with one big news story of the day, depending on whether or not, you know, we can come up with a mutually agreeable one. And we have found one today, I would say, Ms. Wood.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much an easy one. Turns out there's Facebook papers now. Turns out the Facebook files, no one called us to be part of their little Facebook consortium, which, ouch. But evidently, there has been formed an entire consortium of news outlets that has been pouring through the various papers that Frances Haugen has smuggled out of Facebook in her role as a whistleblower and are now reporting on them. And it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Like, it's literally a lot. It's so many stories. Are you the one who has the tweet with the link to all the stories? That alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie Harbath and then David Pierce, I think, who's at maybe at Protocol, also put together of sort of all of the stories that have published over the past few days detailing, you know, a lot of... Interestingly, a lot of the things I think you already felt like you knew about Facebook, or certainly you knew them if you have been following any social media researchers on Twitter or on Marketplace Tech for the last like 5 years.
You don't even have to follow people. You can't not be remotely aware of news and not have heard of all of this stuff, right? I mean,
right?
You know,
the Financial Times, I thought, had a good... Before we get into some of the tertiary reporting around it, the Financial Times, I thought, had a good roundup of, like, you know, four big takeaways. There are lots, and they are what you would expect, right? Which is that Facebook has had a slapdash and obvious and often politically motivated approach to dealing with hate speech and speech by VIPs and how to sort of, like, kowtow to the right wing without offending them by taking down, like, things that aren't really news and so on and so forth. But the big takeaways around content moderation are... Facebook has a huge language problem when misinformation and hate speech occur in countries that aren't the U.S. or in different languages.
Forget it.
Facebook is often stumped
Sorry. That first point is really important because that means that, and this is not my original thought. I saw it go by today in my Twitter feed. That the fact that Facebook has such a language problem in other countries means that we in this country are seeing Facebook at its very best.
Right.
Poisonous, right? So
wow, that is a really good point. Yes.
Yeah.
And that most of Facebook's growth is occurring in other countries, which is like kind of a bummer for Facebook, but most of its growth now is in other parts of the world. So the fact that it's not doing high level moderation or even medium level moderation in other languages is a huge problem. Facebook is frequently stumped by its own algorithms, which is an absolute delight since those algorithms are the things that are just pushing people. Like, they were like, huh, this is so weird. It seems like political content is being served up to men way more than women. The issue is particularly large in African and Asian countries, but we don't know why. Oh, okay. Yeah. You should stick with those then. Yeah. There was already the reporting about Facebook's AI hardly catching any hate speech, but then, of course, Facebook still took human resources away and relied on AI, and then during the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol, this is like a portrait of a company that had no idea how to respond to this, which is frankly astonishing since it was planned, organized, and, you know, detailed out in the open on the platform And by the way, researchers, I mean, it's like a company that exists in a weird little bubble where no one ever talks to it about itself.
Yeah. I think that's right.
That's just four of the like million things.
Of the zillion. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. Totally. And then I don't think we can let the day go just on the Facebook, you know, big story of the day motif here without pointing out that they had their quarterly earnings call this afternoon, made a gazillion dollars, as we knew they would. But then, and this is, and you were listening to this call too, but this is Mike Isaac from the New York Times quoting Mark Zuckerberg on this call about all these stories. "My view on what we're seeing," Zuckerberg said, "is a coordinated effort to selectively use leaked documents to create a false picture about our company." Or,
yeah,
nothing's going to change.
Nothing's going to change.
That last part was me. That last part was me, not Zuckerberg. Nothing's going to change.
I mean, it is also, yeah, a picture of a complete and astonishing lack of accountability. Like, certainly the country has no idea how to deal with a company this big, but, like, there's no board here. I mean, there's no scenario in which this level of constant, you know, scrutiny and reporting, whistleblowers going to the SEC saying, among other things, just, you know, there's the misinformation part of this, but then there's the business part of it. These whistleblowers are going to the SEC saying, hey, this is a company that has systematically underreported advertising metrics while becoming one of the biggest advertising markets in the entire world.
Francis
and there's
Haugen,
like no scenario in which this would all...
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, no, I was just going to say,
there's no board in the world that shouldn't fire this guy.
Right. Exactly. Well, which goes to my point, which is that Haugen told, we're having some big comrade flag today for those of you out in the general public. Francis Haugen told the parliament over in London today, Mark Zuckerberg has total dominion over 3 billion people. What? Right?
Yep.
I mean, it's true, but criminies.
Yeah. No one seems inclined to put a stop to that, and Facebook is just doubling down. For now.
Right?
We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. We don't know. But for now, this is a company that is doubling down.
Molly. Mm-hmm. Do you believe we don't know what's going on behind the scenes?
There's got to be like a possibility. Something.
It's yes, you want to assume positive intent, but how many times have we done the rodeo with this company? Right?
I'm not assuming positive intent. I'm just wondering if someone out there is starting to be like, this could be a problem for you. But so far, at least monetarily, it's not. It's not.
Yep. All right. So that's the lead story of the day. I'll throw in a couple of others that caught my eye as the weekend went by. This one it's related. It's Ben Smith in the New York Times, came out last night, I think. It's an article about how the Facebook story and the Facebook papers have become now a media story with this consortium and this and that. But there is a line in this thing that I simply love. It's about Frances Haugen. And early in the piece, Ben Smith says, I spoke to her from her home in Puerto Rico. And I was like, Puerto Rico? Okay, that's fine. And then you scroll down and it says that Ms. Haugen got to talking about her finances. And Ben Smith quotes her as saying, for the foreseeable future, I'm fine because I did buy crypto at the right time, she told me. That's a quote. And then he says, she noted that she had moved to Puerto Rico to cope with a health condition, but also to join her crypto friends on the island whose capital gains tax exemptions have made it a hub for that novel financial system. Going to our conversation on DeFi the other day. I just kind of love that one.
Oh, yeah. Every character here is just remarkable.
Yep. And just super quick in the weedy financial tax stuff. So the Dems are, as we all know, scrambling to try to figure out how to pay for their what looks like a $1.9 trillion soft infrastructure program now. One of the things they want to do, and I'm raising it because it's going to be super controversial and people should know about it, is they want to, and this was Yellen on the Sunday shows yesterday, they want to tax unrealized capital gains from the wealthiest Americans, which is to say you buy a stock at $100, it appreciates over 20 years to $1,000, and then it's an unrealized gain if you don't sell it, you just have it on your books. the government is thinking about trying to tax that, which is not uncontroversial and be very interesting. And we'll see how this goes. And I just, I want to make sure people are aware of it. Good piece in the journal today from Richard Ruhman about that.
Fascinating. However, I should note that in some ways, the legislative process, much derided and often rightly so, is arguably working when it comes to this infrastructure plan. Just saying, conversations are happening. Things are coming up. They're going away. Like, as someone who is horrified about climate things going away, I still want to acknowledge that, like, it's very easy to sort of be like, everything is a failure and nothing's in order, blah, blah, blah. This is real negotiation.
Mock me like that. Come on.
It was myself. I was mocking myself.
Was that your Kai impression?
I was.
Oh my God.
That was my all the media impression.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Two things of note before we get to Make Me Smile. I did think, I wonder if Elon Musk is like a little annoyed that he hit $1 trillion today and like no one noticed because Facebook.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's not because Tesla hit $1 trillion today. But the really interesting thing about that is that part of the reason that Tesla's stock soared yet again today is because Hertz, the rental car maker, just taking the babiest steps out of bankruptcy, placed an order for 100,000 Teslas. It did not buy them at a discount. It bought them for $42,000 a car. And there was an interesting Twitter thread and analyzing that cost and how, like, you know, VW would have sold Hertz all these cars at a huge discount, but that Hertz, which has always been very financially conservative, seems to be making a long-term bet on electrification and total cost of ownership.
That's $4.2 billion.
Interesting. Wow. Yep.
Fun random car company CEO factoid. The guy who's running Hertz now as the interim CEO is by a guy by the name of Mark Fields, who used to be the CEO of Ford.
Of Ford, yes.
And now you know his he's buying cars from a company that's worth as much as like the next 9 car makers in the world combined, which is just kind of wild.
That is dishy. That's really interesting. Yeah, definitely. Anyway, this is a huge boost for Tesla. There's a good business story in here about the idea, too, that by doing this, Hertz might have locked up, like boxed out any other rental car company that wants to do the same thing because, you know, Tesla doesn't turn out cars super fast. So, like, that's a bottleneck in a way. It's just, it's a fascinating business story.
I wonder how much Hertz. So it's a $4.2 billion deal, right? If my math is right, $42,000 a car times 100,000. I wonder how much they have to pay up front. Like, how much of a loan basically are they giving Elon Musk to front the building of all these cars, and what could he do with that? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like it's so fascinating, and it just got buried in all the other things. And I think there's like a million things I find so amazing about it. And then finally, I'm just going to point out that Congress is now considering 4 weeks of paid family and medical leave
as part of
this negotiation that I was just saying good things about. Initially, 12 weeks were proposed. I would like to remind everybody that the United States is one of 6 countries in the entire world and the only rich country with no form of national paid leave. And if we manage to squeak through 4 weeks, then we would be doing let's see, better than only one other country, Eswatini, once called Swaziland. That's the only one that currently offers fewer than 4 weeks. So great job, Congress. I can see you really care about working mothers and families.
All down from 12 things. And you'd think in this moment with what this pandemic has meant for moms, right, for mothers and women in this economy, you'd think that there would be a clue.
Cannot.
There are.
Okay, so make me smile time.
Yes, please. What?
You all are the best. I love it. Today's Make Me Smile comes from listener Natalie in Arizona, who shares this timely and seasonal song about batteries from her preschooler.
Your car needs a battery when it's spooky day. When it is. When your car, when everything is decorated. I know. It's really spooky. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that kid. Oh, my God, that kid. You need a battery in your car.
And he's just like, God. I like that. He's like, I know. It is a super spooky song. Really, oh, my God. Spooky. Love it. Please send us more Peanuts awesome. Singing about batteries on spooky days.
Natalie, thank you so much. That was great. We're going to go out on that one. Tomorrow, yep. We're getting into carbon pricing, carbon taxes, how that whole mechanism has to work at some point. I don't know. Subscribe to Make Me Smart, would you, in your favorite podcast app to get that show. And oh, so much more.
And you still have a few hours to send us questions and comment questions in advance of that show. I mean, because I'm certain that there will be many. Send us your comments on any topic we have discussed here. The correlation between spookiness and batteries, obviously, is on the table. Plus, more kids singing for Make Me Smile. Please, makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can also call us and leave us a voice message. Our number is 508-827-6278 or 508-UBSMART.
Yeah, that's great.
Spooky.
That was great, great, great. Holy cow.
Amazing.
Make Me Smart Today was produced by Tony Wagner. He writes our newsletters, too. Today's program is engineered by Juan Carlos Dorado.
Bridget Bodner is the senior producer and the interim director of On Demand. This is Donna Tam.
That's a pretty thin crew, don't we? We have a lot of people on vacation, guys, right? Marque's out doing stuff. Marissa's out doing stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we're trying to spread it out, spread the love a little too, so that not everybody gets in the credits every day. So they can get
fair.
Their moment. Four weeks.
Yes.
Four weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.